Today I want to talk a bit about Mother's Day, what it means from a Christian point of view. And I know that can be very, very tough for some people, but very rewarding for others. And what I want to show you today is how Jesus provides something for us, which makes the idea that we usually attribute to Mother's Day available to everyone, no matter what, just absolutely no matter what. And I know that Mother's Day is a great day for a lot of people because of the wonderful kind of family experience that you have and the relationships with your mom and all this. And then there's others for whom that relationship is not really all that good, very negative. Or there's others who, among us, who've lost a mother, many of us actually, and recently perhaps, or a child, lost a child. So even some recently. And this can be a very difficult day for that reason. There's also those whose families, even if their mothers were kind people, were difficult for many reasons. And all of that, what I want you to know that we here at St. Francis and many other Christians that I know, if that's the case with you, any of those things, if you've lost a child or a mother, we grieve with you. If you have had a difficult family experience, we walk with you. If it doesn't just help to even think about this, we're with you. And if you've had a wonderful family experience, we rejoice with you. We are with you no matter what the case may be, for a number of reasons. First of all, you're worth all that. Your story, no matter what it is a story to be honored in every way. And we also believe that Jesus is with you and we want to follow Jesus wherever he goes, no matter what the case is with Jesus. So all of that is very important to us. And I want to bring out a few things that I think will help to illustrate that and underline that and give you a way in further into that marvelous, merciful kingdom of God that releases life in you and to you and through you. And I want to start today with a brief story about one of the famous mothers of all history. Not Whistler's mother, there's a different one that I want to point out today. And it's this one, Monica. Monica was the mother of St. Augustine, who was one of the finest bishops in the history of the entire Christian church. In the fourth century, he was a bishop. And Monica was raised in a Christian family, although she had her, what shall I call them, quirks. And she married a pagan man, a Roman person who was prominent in the government there in Africa where she was from. And she went along and she raised two sons. One of them was Augustine. And the thing with Monica was, in her Christian life, she really went through the entire discipline of prayer deeply. And at that point in history, Christians would pray by themselves at home in the morning and then in the evening. And it was just becoming public, where there'd be morning and evening prayer in the church. And Monica was present at morning and evening prayer almost every day. She had that kind of rhythm going on in her life spiritually. She also wanted for people who were outside of the faith to come in, and particularly her family. None of those men were part of the church. Her husband, her two sons, they just weren't in at all. And finally, at the end of her husband's life, he became a Christian. Augustine, on his way to becoming a bishop, that was a little harder even. But Monica kept running after him, just kept after him. In fact, Monica is the original and heaviest helicopter mom. She was just after him all the time. Here's Augustine. He's into his late 20s. He's a brilliant mind. He goes off to Rome to teach, and he's teaching in a upper-level, university-level classes, all kinds of things. And who shows up? His mom. She's coming after him, just after him all the time. And Augustine, It was wearing him down. He was thinking, yeah, okay, I'll do it. I'll become a Christian. But there was two things that Augustine really made him hesitate. One was he felt that because of his mom being a helicopter mom, that if he actually came into the Christian faith, it would box him in. I mean, he kind of felt boxed in by his mom. I don't know if you, probably none of you have ever felt that kind of thing. But that's what he felt. So he was backing off. And just to be honest, I know there's young children here and all this. Augustine loved chasing women. He just couldn't give it up. Everybody okay with that? he just kept chasing women all the time. And his prayer would be, God, make me a Christian, but not yet. So Monica kept at it and kept at it, and finally he became a Christian. He joined in, was baptized, and started going at it, and would fall from time to time, and eventually grabbed a hold of her rhythms of the Christian faith in prayer. And later, you know, very soon after that, he became a bishop. And as a bishop, he did everything by the book. And he lived for a really long time, doing it by the book all the time. With one exception, his mother, Monica, was given to mystical experiences, as many Christians were in northern Africa at that time. Today that's Libya and around there. There's a lot of mysticism there, and Monica would have dreams and mystical experiences. And if somebody from Augustine's jurisdiction, his diocese, came to him and said, I've had a dream, and this is what I think God is saying, he paid strict, close attention to that and would give it space and consider it very, very deeply. So he had this breadth of what's going on, which came from Monica. And as I looked at Monica's life and was thinking about it, Monica provided rhythms for family life, and those rhythms made it the family a place where you could mess up if you were going to mess up, and it would be all right, you'd be safe. She'd still come get in her helicopter and come after you. And also, it released life. Monica just kept releasing life all the time, even if she was, you know, kind of persistent about it. And the rhythms that she had were this. Her prayer life, which you described, she's always reaching up to God. Always reaching up to God. And then she was just pouring love, even if it was smothering sometimes, onto her family. Always reaching out to be encouraging to her family. And then she was trying to include everyone who was not in the Christian faith as best as she could. So she had a rhythm of up to God, in to the fellowship, out to the world. Many of you are familiar with that rhythm. That rhythm is what produces the space for those who are in it to be fruitful, to be built up, even if things don't go well. That's what happens, and that's what Monica did. Now, one place that she got that was the life of Jesus. And what Jesus did was he also produced that same set of rhythms in his life. He was always up to the Father, in to the 12 or the 70, depending on who's around at the time, and always out to the world. That set of rhythms gave people healing and encouragement and life and strength. And it kept going. Now, we've mentioned from time to time that Jesus had some trouble with his family. And I'll just remind you about that. There was this time when they came, he was teaching, and they came by, and Mary and his brothers and others, they couldn't get to him because of the crowd that was around him, and they thought that he was crazy or demon-possessed or something. They were just coming to collect him and take him home and get him to settle down. You know, or something. They just really thought he was off. And Jesus, I remember at that incident, said, "Who is my mother and who is my brothers?" but those who do the will of God. He began at that point gathering a new family for him to go after his calling fully. That's what a family does. Gives you the space, the encouragement, and the ability to go in to what you are called to be. You remember that great verse, raise up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. Do you remember that? Okay, some of you do. I'm going to do that in a few months. I'm going to ask you if you remember that again. Just jot that down. Raise up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. A lot of people think that means tell them to fly right, don't mess up, do the right thing, and then you'll never get into trouble. Well, there's a lot of people who do the right thing and get into a lot of trouble. What that verse means is if you provide for other people what they need to be encouraged and for life to be released into them and to be built up for who they are and what drives their heart, they will continue to go on that path and never depart from it, and you will have made them stronger in it. That's the family that Jesus is pointing to. Very powerful. Very powerful. That's the kind of group that Jesus wants to see multiplied throughout the world and throughout history. And when he speaks of a family, he's speaking of something that is much larger than our concept of family in America today, which is usually what we call the nuclear family. You know, you're the mom and dad, the kids, you know, however that is. It's a small group. Even if it's some adaptation of that, it's a small group. When Jesus is speaking of a family, he's speaking of a group that is much larger, a household. And the household had quite a number of people connected to it. They may not have been blood relatives, but they were all part of that household, you know, for running the business of the house and so forth. In fact, the household was so big that they would hire tutors, and the tutors would teach the kids when they were little all the different things, you know, the ABCs and this and that. And then when they were about 12, the young girl would just plant herself at her mother's side and follow her mother around and do everything her mother did so that the girl could learn the family business by imitating the mother. And the son would be planted by the father's side and follow that father around until that son learned the family business from the father. Very different from today. Very different from today. Doesn't mean that today is bad at all. There's a lot of good things I like about today, actually. What it does mean is this. There is a rhythm which a group can take up. An extended family, a group of friends, a group of people around the same interest. And when they take up those rhythms of up to God, into the fellowship, out to the world, then the people in that group become strong and they become full of life and they begin going in the path that God desires for them to go. And they become attractive to people outside of them. That's the family that Jesus is building all the time. That's what he equips us to build. When we speak of mission, what we speak of is a group of people who want to serve a different group of people. And that group of people who's doing the serving adopts those rhythms. And they're able to do it. Now that's why I started out this morning just saying that if you've had difficulty of any kind in your family, any heartache, any grief, any trouble, any disruption at all in your family, any breaking because of divorce, addiction, or whatever it may be, there is still a family that God puts you in. And it's a family where you grow to be safe and strong. It's a family that reaches up to Him and encourages one another and reaches out to others. It's the family, as we heard Kathy read just a few minutes ago from 1 John, that says this. Fear has nothing to do with punishment. Oh, and just before that, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. If you've ever had any fear at any time in your family for any reason, and it clings today, Jesus is saying, my love for you is perfect, and it casts away all that fear, casts it out, so that you can grow into everything you were created to be, and you can take a place in a group that is a strong, merciful, loving family. That's the invitation of our Lord to you this morning. And there may be something very specific that Jesus is speaking to you about right now, right at this moment. If so, now's the time to say yes to that. So what I want to do to end, as we often do, is to give the Lord a moment just to speak to us in the quiet of our hearts, and then we'll go on with some prayer and come into the Lord's table. So would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we ask that at this moment you would speak into our hearts and our souls the very word you want us to hear at this moment. That which has come into your mind right now, that he's echoing in your heart, whatever it may be. Lord, we ask that we'd have your power to take those steps that you're speaking to us right now. Amen.